Hallelujah, hallelujah. Mark, do we have any announcements we need to make? Okay, remind you again, right after service, we want to move some seats here. We're going to make a center aisle. Isn't that what we want, Hannah? Okay, for VBS. So what we will do, if you're familiar with it, we'll just unhook the seats here, not in the middle, because the middle would be 5.5 seats. So we want 6 seats to go this way and 5 to go this way, and they interlock. So it'll just be these that we will divide. Some of you have been through that and you know it doesn't take long. We will be dismissing maybe just a hair early so the folks can get home about the same time. Okay, we're going to let the young people and the children go. And Brother Jeff, if you'd come and lead us in maybe 5 minutes of testimony, something like that. Give folks a chance to rejoice in the Lord. Want to encourage you to remember Paula Daniel. She is under hospice care, and she needs some real miracles in her life. Okay, and she's at Miller's, and need you to lift her up, remember her in prayer. Praise Jesus. Yes. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, did you say?
It was normally Friday and Saturday, but Brother Steve Owens and them are coming down a day early again.
You talking about tomorrow or
next
week? Okay. Remind me, be sure we get that in the announcements. Okay. Okay, then. Right. Okay. Yeah, a lot of work needs to be done. And. Right. And be praying about Vacation Bible School. June is right around the corner. Brother Jeff, if you'd come and give us an opportunity to share a couple of testimonies. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Anybody have a testimony or just want to praise the Lord? I want to thank him for the rain today, the refreshing for the land, for the garden, for the birds, and the refreshing he brings us. And I was outside after the rain, and the birds were singing and praising him and thanking him, and so was I. Anyone?
I want to praise the Lord, too, because he's worthy. And I also want to ask for prayer for a friend of mine, John Varner. He was in a wreck in Evansville this afternoon, and he said he was okay, but he's 93 years old, and they've got him in the hospital, so please just pray for him that he is okay.
Amen. I just want to praise the Lord. My oldest grandchild, Elijah, graduated from college. He is now a civil engineer. And he's going to be moving Saturday for the first time being all by himself. So he needs a lot of prayer.
Maybe Grandma, too. Anyone else?
First, I just want to praise God for keeping me mobile and taking care of me, which I know he's really taking care of me, because I have staph in my big toe. I read that on Facebook, or not Facebook, my chart. doctors were supposed to get me antibiotics but didn't. And I went to the doctor on Friday, and they said, now they're saying they're waiting for the wound clinic to give me antibiotics, which will be Friday. And he could already touch the bone in my toe. So I've had experience with staff of Rob, and it's not good. And with them not being in a hurry to take care of this, it's worrisome. So I really need God to take care of it, because they don't seem to be too worried about it like I am. So I know God can do it. So I'm really dependent on God for this staph infection to clear up with him rather than the doctor.
Amen. He's the best doctor. Anyone else?
Well, praise God. Well, wasn't it a beautiful day today? Man, nice rain. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Turn with me to Mark chapter 1. And thank you, Jesus. Put a smile on your face. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, I thank you that we have had the privilege of singing praise unto you. Lord, giving thanks to you. You're so good to us, Lord. Lord, I thank you that we get to live in the hour in which we are, that we can seek your face, we can pray for loved ones, and Lord God, that you're still moving and doing and drawing people to you. And Lord, though it's troublous times, still, Lord, it's great times. I pray, Lord, for little children, young people that are meeting tonight and elsewhere. Lord, I pray for the upcoming vacation Bible school. Lord, that you would even now begin to give a burden, desire unto parents and grandparents, Lord, to send their children to vacation Bible school. What a tremendous opportunity. And Lord, as we consider thinking camps coming right around the corner, and bless those, Lord, that are giving so much of the time and energy to making it possible. And Lord, I ask you to help us tonight as we look into your word. Lord, that you would help us to hear exactly what you want us to hear. Help us to be attentive, Lord, because right now, in the next half hour perhaps, Lord, we get to look at your word in a special way. Lord, as we come into your house in your name and for your glory, Lord, to hear from you, and help me to share exactly what you desire, Lord. And I thank you for every person here. Pray for every family, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Oh, glory. Mark chapter 1. Could be today that the Lord is going to come back. Thank you, Jesus. In beginning at verse 14, it says, now after that John was put in prison. Before this takes place, we read about Jesus being led out in the wilderness, tempted of the devil for 40 days. And my, what a horrible time he went through. But then, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee. Now picture, if you will, the time period. Jesus is coming into his ministry. We have the incidents of the Old Testament. The people are living under Roman rule, living under the law, living under Pharisees and Sadducees and the scribes and the such. And then here comes this man on the scene called Jesus. He's a he's just a common guy, except that he's God.
Amen.
But it's a day kind of like our day, really. It's not so far removed. People were caught up in living, doing their lives, and just going through life and trying to serve God as best they knew God. But, of course, they were under the law and the sacrifices and the such. So, Jesus came to Galilee, and look at this next phrase, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, that had never been preached. This man came preaching a new doctrine. And what he's going to be preaching, the message is going to grow, but he's going to be preaching repentance. Repentance. You say, well, that's an old doctrine. Well, he is preaching repentance to gain eternal life. He's preaching repentance so that you can have your sins forgiven. And this is a new doctrine. In fact, he's preparing the people for a new day. I mean, something like they've never heard of before. And they'll find out later that, wow, it was there all the time and we never saw it. It was in the scripture and we didn't get it. And so Jesus comes preaching a new day, a new time. What he's leading up to is going to be God with us, Christ in us, and that we are the light of the world, and that He is the light. He has come to destroy the works of darkness and the such. If you would think about this time, here comes Jesus on the scene. Turn to Luke chapter 4, and I want you to see this. Verse 18. Jesus came into the temple, and they gave him a book, gave him a scroll, and it was from the book of Isaiah. And he opens it up in verse 18. Verse 17 shows he opened it up, and he read this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, he is, again, just coming into his ministry, and he comes into the temple, and he is going back 750 years, maybe a little longer, reading from Isaiah, and he is taking this for himself, and they understand that. They don't agree with him, but he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. The gospel to the poor. The gospel of the kingdom is what he's talking about. The kingdom of heaven. Remember when the disciples asked Jesus, they were with him praying, and he said, oh, teach us to pray, they said. And he said, okay, pray after this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. He's not talking about heaven coming. He's talking about his kingdom come into its fulfillment, because the kingdom that he's preaching is going to change the whole world. It's going to change everyone who has ever lived and ever will live. And so he says, the Spirit of the Lord, capital S, God, is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Going back to Mark chapter 1, this is why Jesus came on the scene. But follow with me here, as back into Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And here is what he said. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Now, folks, we are in that time period, okay? Until Jesus comes back. And even an overflow beyond that. He says, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Or believe the good news. Believe what I'm telling you. There's a new day here. Now we find that he came to fulfill the law. He didn't do away with the law. He fulfilled the law. He was the sacrifice. He was the final, the necessary sacrifice of all the other sacrifices. He was the Lamb of God. The very voice from heaven proclaimed him to be the Lamb of God, my beloved Son. And so Jesus comes on the scene here and he says, hey, this is it. Wow. Over 4,000 years. 4,000 years. And now it happens. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the good news. Wow. You know, these folks, they've been making sacrifices like won't quit. They've been making offerings following this law that people couldn't, you know, it didn't take away their sins. It, Scripture shows, kind of rolled them on until the sacrifice comes. And now, after 4,000 years, the day is at hand. Well, Jesus told us there's coming a day when the trump of God's going to sound and he's going to come back. And he's going to come and get us. There's going to be a moment that the dead Christians are going to come out of the grave. And we which are alive are going to be changed in a moment. And we're going to go to heaven. I believe that. You believe that? I mean, that's the word of God, okay? It's not that difficult. Now, we say, well, it won't happen in my lifetime. They didn't think that either. In fact, when Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, even the people that knew the word of God, the Pharisees, the scribes, they didn't get it. I mean, they missed the whole thing. And yet it had been prophesied over and over and over. So he said, we have a new day. This is a day when instead of the sacrifices, you will repent. You will repent. Now, wait a minute. Before, you would bring a sacrifice for just about everything. You would bring sacrifice. You would bring an animal or a meal offering or something that was a sacrifice for Thanksgiving. I want to give thanks to God, and so you bring a sacrifice. Well, I did something I shouldn't have, or I've been living, you know, living life and sinning, and so they bring a sacrifice. Or they bring sacrifices for holy days and such. And now he says, going to repent. Yes. Okay, we know that can't be true, but it was true. It was a new day. Yes. Now, if we're not careful, folks, we'll do like the folks at Galatia, the Hebrews, various ones. We'll try and put the two together. See, repentance has to do with accepting that Jesus is the sacrifice that you should be making. But it still didn't work. And no matter how many bulls and goats they sacrificed, it never got rid of their sins. But now the Lamb of God does. God came in human form. He was manifested. Jesus manifested God, he says. In him was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so he comes preaching this new gospel. Repent, for the kingdom of God is with you. repent. What is this? God, come preaching a new gospel. Let's look quickly here. And so, now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon, that's Simon Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. They were fishermen. And they're out here fishing. And he's going along the Sea of Galilee. Now, what Peter and Andrew are doing is living life. It's their everyday life, livelihood. They're doing like what some of you are going to be doing tomorrow. You're going to be operating your business or going to work at the factory or running your home or whatever. You're going to be going through life. And Jesus comes by. Now remember, the Spirit of God had not been pouring out as we see on the day of Pentecost. This is just the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And he goes past Andrew and Simon and Andrew. And they were fishing, and he said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." Wonder what that means. Well, look at the next verse. Straightway, that means immediately, they forsook their nets and followed him. And I think, what's our problem? We know. We know more than what they knew. We look back and we know who he is. Peter and Andrew, they knew nothing about this man except that their spirit must have stirred in them or something. I mean, how many people would just follow someone that comes with a new doctrine? Well, sometimes people have, you know. The Jimmy Jones group and as such, you know, they follow. Well, or maybe we see people like this, and they, you know, they're deceived and they receive false promises and as such, you know, and so they follow this new idea, you know. And there's a lot of new ideas going around now. We see people joining groups they really don't know much about because they want to be part of a group, and so they will join these groups. You know, and we see them all over the country. In fact, all over the world, we have different groups, different names, you know, and different acronyms for what their name sounds like and whatever. And they will follow them, not even knowing what the group believes, really. You know what I'm talking about? So maybe we're not too far removed from that. Or sometimes people will join a group because they just want to be in a group, and so they'll do drugs, they'll get caught up in life, they want to get new stuff, they want to be part of the group, you know, and so they'll do things they shouldn't do. So humanity hasn't changed a whole lot, has it? But here Jesus comes and he says, follow me, and you shall become fishers of men. And so immediately, straightway means, they forsook their nets. I mean, they changed their whole livelihood. They're going to follow this feller. They're going to follow him and be part of his group. And right now, he doesn't have a group. It's him. And so they leave everything and followed him. And they had gone just a little further, right there on the Sea of Galilee. And he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, James and John, who also were in the ship mending their nets. So here's James and John, and these are men with an eye for the future. People that are planning. You know, I've got two granddaughters studying to be a nurse. Be nurses. And they study, they go to school, they go to work, they go to school, they study. And you've got people in your family that are the same way, or some of you. We prepare for the future. And we look forward to that. And we've got plans in our mind of what we want to do. You know, and And, you know, Hannah and Elizabeth, you know, they're both studying to be nurses, you know, and they've got plans. And Brother Shackman, he's got plans for them. He wants them all, you know, they're going to be nurses, come over there, and they can be nurses in Gorka, you know, or someplace. Now, I don't know that their plans are are that focused. But see, we make plans. And these two men, they are fishermen, and they're mending their nets. You know what they're going to be doing tomorrow? Fishing. They're planning for tomorrow and the next day. They're not thinking, well, I guess we'll just retire tomorrow. No need mending the nets. No, they have a future planned. Now, if you are anticipating doing something for God in the future, He's looking for you. This is just the kind of guys that Jesus wanted following Him. People that had a plan for the future, even they didn't know what it was. And so, you know, like my granddaughters, you know, planning for the future, being nurses. What kind of a nurse? Well, nursing is wide open, you know. But planning for the future. So God looking for people that's not just satisfied for today. And so they were mending their nets, and straightway He called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after Him. Now we've got a small group. Of course, we find that Jesus called others also. So, you know, what is our problem? These people are, they're leaving everything. They're leaving their future. They're leaving their expertise of being fishermen, their livelihood, and they're going to follow Jesus. And we're talking about following Jesus. We're talking about, where are you going to sleep tonight? It's not, we're going to follow you to Nashville and hold a revival, and then we'll be back in 3 or 4 nights. No. We're going to not know where we're going to sleep tonight or what we're going to eat tomorrow. Yes, sir. We'll follow you. What's your belief? What's your philosophy? What do I have for my future? You know, what's in this for me? Not that I have to get a lot of stuff, a lot of things, or be somebody, but, you know, I kind of like to know what's in it for me. Okay? And so they followed Him. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, He entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at His doctrine. For He taught them as one that had authority, that knew what He was talking about, not like one of the scribes who, you know, actually they mainly copied scriptures. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit who had a devil motivating him. And look at verse 24. Saying, here's what this man with the unclean spirit said. It's a spirit speaking. Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? These devils knew who He was. See, they're operating in the spirit realm. Okay. Well, what do you have to do with us? We know you. You're Jesus. You came from Nazareth. The people didn't even know where He came from. And He said, are you come to destroy us? Well, the answer is yes. He came to destroy the works of darkness. Amen. Jesus said that. Are you come to destroy us? I know who you are, this devil said. I know who you are. The Holy One of God. Wow. So, here's Jesus. He's got these guys following Him, these four disciples. And there's other people we find following Him too. But these He had called. Some are just following Him. And many of them, when they found out who He was and how He didn't fit in with this group of the Pharisees and the such, and the synagogue, they decided they didn't want to hang out with him anymore. They couldn't identify with him and his new doctrine. And so these people said, what is this? You know, this man said, I know who you are. The devils did. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, that unclean spirit came out. The people, they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, note this, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? What is the new message? This man comes with another message, but with this message, here's this man that is motivated by an unclean spirit, and Jesus casts him out. He gets rid of this unclean spirit. Okay, so what is this man? Well, his message, they know his message because everywhere he goes, he is preaching the message, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That's the message. Hey, how are you doing on that? How am I doing on that? Do we, you know, we're Christians. We probably everyone in here is a Christian. You've asked Jesus, forgive you for sins. You really believe it. And we may be at different levels in our Christian walk, but nonetheless, we're Christians. But how often do we really repent? How often do we search our hearts? I mean, really search our hearts. Lord, what is it you would like to change in my life? Lord, what is it that I am doing? How is it I'm living that maybe doesn't really please you? That's called meddling, isn't it? Okay, so how often do we ask him to forgive us? Forgive me, Lord, for whatever. The psalmist David said, search my heart, Lord. Try me, know me. See if there be any wicked way in me. So, I think we ought to put that on our to-do list. Is, Lord, what can I do to change my life? What am I doing that you want to change my life? And we repent. So, what is this new thing? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits. The man speaks to devils and they obey him, he says. They do obey him. These spirits obey him. You see, this is, he is leading up to this day when, remember, he sent the 70 out. And he said, I'm going to send you out like sheep before wolves. And so he sends them out. And they come back and they say, wow, even the devils are subject to us. Well, what he is leading up to in this kingdom of heaven is when the power of God comes upon us on the day of Pentecost, when the very Spirit of very God is available to all humanity that will ask him and seek him. And so we come to that day. He's leading to that day. He says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's leading to that day when he says, if you ask me, I'll give you my spirit. Know what he said? He said, you ask your fathers for a fish. Your fathers don't give them a stone or a scorpion. They ask for bread. He doesn't give them a stone. How much more should your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Because we live in that day. See, we live in that day. Now, with this, folks, when we ask Jesus to come into our lives, forgive us of our sins, he gives unto you and to me, hear me now, he gives you power over all the power of the enemy. Because his spirit lives in you. See, this is that great mystery Paul talks about. Christ in us. The hope of glory. Now, this hope of glory is the fulfilling of these Old Testament promises that's bringing on the church being people who turn to Jesus and die, so to speak. They live trusting Jesus. And that's the church. The church is the called out ones. Those who accept Christ as their Savior is the church. And the church is the greatest group of people who ever has lived or ever will live. The church is the body of Christ. The church is that group in heaven where we're going to have the Last Supper. And Abraham, this great Abraham and his followers, they get to be waiters for us. I mean, really, they're not part of the church. They're the redeemed, and they have a special place forever, but they're not part of the body of Christ. See, Jesus said, the day is fulfilled. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he goes preaching the kingdom of heaven. He goes preaching repentance, that you have eternal life through repentance. Okay, and so what does he say? They say, hey, tell us, which is the greatest commandment? The Lord, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and to love your neighbors yourself. We were talking about commandments. This is it. This is the Spirit of God living in us, given to us by the work of Christ. You know, Jesus said he had to go so that the Spirit could come. And he didn't have to just be removed from point A to point B. He had to die for that purpose. And then he goes to heaven and ever liveth to make intercession for us. So the people say he has power over the spirits. And they obey him. Have you ever, don't raise your hand, but have you ever rebuked a spirit? Well, now, if not, I'd say you need to get with it. In fact, I think the enemy would like for you to not even know such things. Jesus said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. Now, there's some times when some of those things Jesus said to the disciples when they said, well, why couldn't we cast them out? Remember? Yeah. They couldn't heal because they couldn't cast out the devil. Why couldn't we cast these? They said, this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. Okay, but now you've got to also remember, okay, the Spirit has not been poured out at that time like we know today. Now, of course, we know, you know, you don't need prayer and fasting. You know, that's old-fashioned stuff. Yeah, it goes back 2,000 years. And it's relevant today. Yes. Very relevant. But it's not a work to have power over the devils. You have power over the devils. And so, you know, what we do is we gather ourselves in and we, if we're not careful, we use our Christianity. You know, we're Christians and we're going to go to heaven and we're pretty sharp people and such. And yeah, we are going to go to heaven. We know the Word of God, whatever. But often we neglect dealing with the devils behind things. Your enemy is not people. No person. There is no person that is your enemy. Behind every person that you think is your enemy, your adversary, there's a demon spirit. And that person is coming against you. And it may not just be that person coming against you. It may be you or it may be me that's taking things wrong. Or we're receiving things wrong or whatever. It may be us. And God's allowing it to happen just to kind of fine-tune us or something. Help us to grow. See, if we're not careful, folks, we get away from the simplicity of the gospel. Jesus came to usher in and to preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we're right in the middle of it. Actually, we're kind of right at the end of it. But we have this power. You, if you were a Christian and you just became a Christian this afternoon, you have power over all the power of the enemy. Exercise it. Don't be afraid to pray. Don't be afraid to pray through your house. You know, if you've got children and you know, things are not going right in your home or whatever, Man, go through your house and pray and run those devils out. You know? You say, preacher, I never did that before. Well, run them out. You know, they might say to you, well, who are you? You know, they say, hey, I'm a servant of the Most High God. I come in the name of Jesus. And I'll tell you what, they will leave because you have all power over them. And you pray and you say, Lord, give me discernment. What are these spirits I'm dealing with? Pray. Okay? You may find it yourself. You may find yourself, well, not really. I don't know exactly what denomination you have to go to, but where you get aggravated once in a while. Okay, now I know people go here, they don't get aggravated. But you're going to run into people like this, you know, at work or wherever, and they get aggravated, and you can let them know that you learned, you know, that sometimes we get aggravated because we've got demonic opposition. The devils have been pestering you, and he puts thoughts in your mind. Hello, the devils put thoughts in your mind. The devils put all kind of thoughts in your mind if you will entertain them. He'll have you go out here and kill yourself. Huh? He will tell you people don't like you. Now, I got news for you. I hate to break this to you, but there's possibly some people don't like you. All right? Don't sweat it, all right? They didn't like him either. But you don't have to listen to the enemy. Well, you have power over the enemy. So we need to exercise that power. See, this is they said one thing about Jesus is he speaks with authority, like he believes what he's saying. Okay, so I want to tell you something that Jesus said. The kingdom of heaven is here. It's here. And in fact, he says, right towards the end of his ministry, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And now, yes, because he was there. And so he says, it's not just coming. Here it is. But you see, what he was preaching toward was the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God is for everyone. When he says the kingdom of heaven is here, it's because he was right there. But he couldn't be everywhere. He could be in Capernaum one day, there's the kingdom of heaven. Okay, he could be in Jerusalem the next day, and there's the kingdom of heaven. But now, wherever you are, there is the kingdom of heaven. Because the Spirit of God lives in you. That same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And you have a message. And the message is still that what Jesus preached. Hey, the kingdom of heaven is here. Christ is here with us. Hello, he lives in us. This is what it's all about, folks. I mean, this is what the gospel is about. This is why they hung him on a cross. Because he fulfilled the requirements of the sacrifices of the law. He fulfilled the law, and he preached this new gospel that the Lamb of God, God himself, came down and became our sacrifice. And so now we, my friend, we know so much more. We have the Spirit of God with us because we ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins. Repent, he said, to forgive us of our sins. And he says he will come and live in us. His body, his spirit lives in our body. Amen? Okay. A lot of scriptures on that. His spirit comes and lives in our body. And now we have power over all the power of the enemy. We are his. We're his children. We call him our father. We have his inheritance. He said, I give you the power over all the power of the enemy. And not only that, but he gives us his righteousness. You know? He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might have the righteousness of God. Huh? Now, I want to tell you what. if you want to go tell the devil where to go, one of the first things he will do is he'll say, you're going to tell me where to go. And you told that lady that called the day before, you know, you wanted to talk to that she wanted to talk to your husband, and you told her he wasn't home and he was. Well, you liar, you're going to tell me where to go? Well, say, yeah, devil, because I repented of that. And so get out of here. Get out of here, you accusing spirit, or whatever it might be. And you may not even know what it is. But you can run him off. And, you know, if you will exercise your authority, if we will realize we do not wrestle with flesh and blood. The problems you have at work, perhaps with your boss or your supervisor or whatever, those problems, disagreements, whatever, may not have to do with people at all. It may be with demonic powers. Take authority over them. Your children are getting out of hand. Have you prayed? Have you prayed over them and told those devils to leave your children alone in Jesus' name? Now, we don't have time to go into all this, but you remember, even these devils we first encountered here, are you come to destroy us? Remember, devil said, and we see instances where it said, are you going to destroy us before our time? Remember whenever the demons went out into the swine, are you come to destroy us before our time? Well, they know it's going to be destroyed. And you know, it's okay to get rough with devils and tell them, you know, hey, you leave my children alone. And I can remember sometimes when I've told devils, you know, and they didn't want to cooperate. I'm going to talk to my father, and he's going to send you to hell before your time. And they left. Now, I didn't know whether I had authority to do that or not, but they thought I did. That's all that mattered. They didn't want to go before the time. Devils know where they're going to spend eternity. Okay, so Jesus came preaching this tremendous new message that has been foretold all the way back in the beginning of Genesis. And here's this new message, is that God has come to live with man. God, Emmanuel. Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Wow, that gives me goosebumps just standing here. God with us. You have God living in you. And he's given you power and authority. And this is what the people said. Even the devils are subject to him. He talks to the devils and they obey him. So we have this same spirit in us. Amen? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Hey, read Romans 8. You can read all through the New Testament, you find it. And the Old Testament promises it. But if you believe that, and you just tell those devils, hey, you leave my family alone. And not only that, this is not limited to you being in their presence. I've got family all over the world. You know, grandkids in Ireland and great-grandkids and such. And I pray for them, and I rebuke devils, you know, concerning, you know, family, missionaries, whatever, all over the world. We can take authority over those things, folks. We're not limited in the physical realm. In the spiritual realm is where we operate. Amen? Or we want to. Well, thank you for your patience. Stand together with us. We're going to dismiss in prayer. And then we're going to divide and conquer these pews, okay? Some of you know how to do these. We don't have to move them individually. Okay, let us pray. Lord, thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that we can be reminded. I can be reminded that you have granted unto us, Lord, to call you Father. You call us sons and daughters. You've forgiven us of our sins, never to mention them again. And Lord God, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for loving us so much, even giving us your righteousness, Lord, when we have none. And Lord, I pray that you would go with your people and help us to go rejoicing in you. And help us, Lord, to just kind of get with it as Christians, Lord, realizing that we need to be fighting the battle, Lord, for our sons and our daughters and husbands and wives and grandchildren and neighbors, Lord. We need to be helping them fight battles, Lord God, because you've given us power over all the power of the enemy. So help us to exercise that. Lord, bless your people. Keep them from sicknesses, Lord. Bring healing to them. And we just say thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.